Sometimes I think we should sing that song before any of the readings because they are so powerful. Thank you, Marilyn, for that reading. The gospel reading according to St. Luke. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the gospel of our Lord. I think I just pretty much preached the whole sermon, so I could probably just sit down right now. It didn't occur to me until this morning when I was finishing up and doing my last minute edits that I realized that really the hymn of the day should have been "This Little Light of Mine." So I did sing that song at the earlier service at Cross of Glory as well, but like I said, we didn't have it in the hymnal, so it made it a lot more difficult. Indeed, perhaps we hear about fire in our text this morning and our minds jump to judgment. Don't feel bad. Most of the pastors I know jumped the same place. It is true that we celebrate on Pentecost the fire that the Holy Spirit brings, that God rains down on us. And it is true that those of us who are Minnesotans and maybe know about Jack Pine forests, we know that they are only made possible by the heat that fire brings. Fire regenerates the forest. It allows the trees to grow. It's a part of the life cycle. Indeed, forest fires sometimes are necessary. And fire purifies. It sterilizes. It sanitizes. After all, we buy dishwashers for their high heat capabilities. And I've even been told by some in the medical profession that some surgical tools are sterilized using steam heat. So we know that fire, that heat, do good things, but the fire in this morning's text sits a little differently. Fire and division. Sometimes I think I'm a little bit naive when it comes to this because it has been drilled into me in my training to become a pastor that I am to look for the good news. The good news is not always a Pollyanna sort of view on the world. We know very well that there are troubles in this world. We know all too well injury, sickness, loss. Perhaps that's why these texts get to us in such a different way. Some of us, I am inclined to believe, need to hear the scripture texts that are harsh in order to jar something loose inside of us, to open our eyes in a different way, to be real. I hope this morning's texts didn't scare you, because they shouldn't. They reveal to us a little bit more about the truth about Jesus and the truth about our God. Now, first things first, I'm going to rewind to last week. I know that not all of you were able to make the outdoor service. It was a great time and lovely to be together. But at the end of that sermon, I encourage you to do three things. And I'm going to try to put on a teaching hat now and rewind to last week and repeat what I said so that even those of you who were there, that you can be reminded, and those of you who weren't there can hear this. As a parish together, I invite you to trust in God, open your Bible, and pray about what you read, to truly seek understanding not just of God's word, but of your neighbors, those people who are around you. Number two, invest in this parish, both financially and in what you do. Watch the events schedule, help out if you can. Most of all, show up. And then I highlighted for folks that Abiding Savior, the congregation further north of us in Moundsview, they host our confirmation classes on Wednesdays for all three of our churches, for Cross of Glory, for Atonement, and for Abiding Savior. And I just wanted to extend the welcome that Pastors Ryan and Lisa over there, they agreed and wanted me to extend the welcome to you that you can come over for dinner on Wednesday nights. It starts at about, I think, 5:30. Yes, nodding your head, so I'm right. Okay, and then about 6:30, we have worship together, and it's a good service, right, Lindsay? It's good stuff. And then it's a very short service, just a half an hour, and then the students go into their confirmation class at 7, and a lovely thing happens. Sometimes there's fellowship or education opportunities for adults. So you are all welcome at that gathering. If you want to learn more, talk to me. The third item is don't be too serious. Be lighthearted. Try to set your judgments aside. Welcome people of all ages. Not just those who are your age, but very much younger and very much older too. And sometimes just be silly. Know that sometimes silly is with a purpose. I outline all of that for you in order to get at today's text. Let's focus on that first part. Seek understanding from the biblical text. Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus speaks of bringing fire to the earth, and as Luke has already told us through John the Baptist, Jesus is coming with a fire of purification and refinement. You see, fire goes along with God's presence, as I told you in the children's message, and therefore it represents the power of God to effect change in the face of formidable resistance, as well as the power to overwhelm God's enemies. It is no wonder that fire becomes symbolic also of judgment, because judgment is another way of speaking about how unrighteousness, idolatry, and injustice cannot exist in God's presence. The fire Jesus wants to kindle is a fire of change, a fire of God's active presence in the world. No wonder Jesus is so eager to strike the match with Mary and Zechariah's canticles earlier in Luke and in connection to John's third chapter, where Jesus yearns for the kingdom of God to break forth into the world in all its fullness. The transformations and justice that those saints of Luke chapters 1-3 envisioned are the things that Jesus wants too. And that means that oppression has to go, greed has to go, idolatry has to go, same with exploitation, dehumanization, narcissism, and any other evils you can name that prevent the flourishing of all people and all of creation. Those contagions are rendered powerless in the presence of God. Jesus reveals some of his intense desire here, the burning, the fire in his belly, a desire for the world's well-being. And if any of us can't appreciate that desire, even with the harsh image of a consuming fire, then it's likely that we need a little help in perceiving the world from the perspective of the suffering, the powerless, those who are sinned against. You see, they pray, thy kingdom come, with a different kind of longing and hunger. Of course, the world's well-being doesn't just spring into existence because everyone wants it. It's not that simple. First, the truth must be told, and fire is, after all, about refining. And refining hurts, especially for those of us who have a lot of impurities sticking to us. Because we mistake those impurities for purity, and because we lie to ourselves that self-protection is a form of justice, we resist Jesus and his vision for what the world should be. Therefore, Jesus speaks about this division that his message brings. He points out that the message of release and transformation is bound to divide people. Think about it for a moment. Are there times in your own life when you've told someone that you are a Christian and the conversation stops? Perhaps that just happens to me as a pastor. When I'm on a flight, it goes one of two ways. If they ask, you know, what do you do for a living? And I say, pastor, they either start talking a lot or they stop talking a lot. And they don't talk to me at all for the rest of the flight. It actually works out pretty well for me because the conversation often goes to some pretty deep places if they continue to speak. So it goes with many things in our lives. You maybe come up with a new diet that you're following, and when you tell people, they have this tendency to try to like get you off course without realizing they're doing so, or maybe with realizing doing so. That's a type of division as well, am I right? I'm sure if we brainstormed a little bit, we could come up with all sorts of ways in which we divide off from one another. People in our lives might question our devotion to God who brings along a new way of living. After all, we live in a world where we're told that the pursuit of happiness is most important. But those of us who pursue happiness sometimes find that happiness isn't found in acquiring wealth or stuff. It's found in something deeper. So it goes with many things. When we tell the truth about ourselves, sometimes we are punished. Jesus does bring division, and he is honest about it. But he also brings eternal peace and new beginnings for all. The opportunity to build a family outside of those who you are related to by blood. A family you choose. And Jesus is constantly widening the circle, inviting others in. We think of when he encounters the woman at the well. Afterward, his disciples ask him, his followers ask, why did you talk to her? Or when Jesus sits with sinners. Constantly, he's widening someone we should follow, lifting up the Good Samaritan, as we saw weeks ago, is someone we should follow as an example. Jesus widens the circle, inviting others in and changing his followers by those who join. Even so, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? When we hear this, we have to wonder. We live in an age of spin. People interpret the current time, the present time, and they interpret it pretty differently, actually. So let's not go to the news sources and compare notes, but instead, let's go to even the weather folks, the meteorologists. I have a couple of meteorologist friends, by the way, and I know they're doing their best, right? But this weekend, we were told that there would be rain in the forecast, and there was baseball on the schedule, and we thought for sure some of those baseball games would be canceled, but instead, we had sun shining brightly for most of the games. Even those of us who know how to interpret present times get it wrong here and there, or maybe even really often. And there are always voices spinning things one way or another, and many of those voices seem bent on scaring us or having us believe the worst. I know it's one of my favorite things to point out that we live in one of the safest times in history, yet we feel the most fearful of what all of modern time. Why is this? There is no reason to be ashamed. This is an evolutionary thing. Our instincts are to protect ourselves and what we have. But self-preservation is not the be-all, end-all. Jesus reminded us, he didn't bring something new, he reminded us of what Scripture has told us all along, that God calls us to care for others, the orphan and the widow, those who are less fortunate than we are. We are to share out of the abundance that we have, even when things are not so abundant. So let me bring this back to a summary. Number one, Jesus brings the fire to kill all of the yuckiness that exists inside of you, and the fire in your belly to get things done, to do God's work, to live in God's word, to follow where God calls you. Secondly, Jesus brings division unapologetically. Some people won't like you as much because of your faith. They might even turn their backs on you because of it. Your faith makes you a changed person for the better. Not everyone is going to like that or accept that. But even so, we continue to follow the one who calls our name. Third, Jesus brings a widening of perspective, not just seeing who we are and what we have, but bringing eyes for love, kindness, and a rich tapestry of togetherness that we never, ever would have been able to envision on our own. So, siblings in Christ, I invite you to widen the circle. A flame has been lit and it continues to glow in you. Don't blow that candle out. Let your light shine. Alleluia and amen.